Hey, this is Dr. Ben Carson, and you're listening to Tron.
Back we are on 740 KVOR, our number 540-0740-719. This is 540-0740. The gentleman is a very busy guy. He's written a book. If you haven't got a copy of this, please get one tomorrow or yesterday. You need a copy of it. It's called The War on Guns, Arming Yourself Against Gun Control Lies. And they are all over the place out there. And it's written by a gentleman, John R. Lott Jr., called by Newsweek the gun crowd's guru. And he's an economist as well, a Nobel laureate. Milton Friedman said, quote, John Lott has few equals as a perceptive analyst of controversial public policy issues. And he would have been right. He was right. John Lott joins us on 740 KVOR. It's great to have you back on, sir.
Doing great. How about yourself?
We're doing good. You know, it's Sunday afternoon in Colorado. And how's your state? Where are you today? Are you allowed to say?
I'm in Pennsylvania.
All right. Hey, that could be a win for Trump. We'll see what happens. We don't know yet.
Well, could be close.
Yeah.
If he takes Pennsylvania, it'd make a big difference. Of course, Colorado may be the deciding.
I know. Also. You're so right, and we're watching that. I'll tell you what, like a hawk. Well, I'll tell you what, last week, and I know you watched this debate too, Hillary decided that we have a gun epidemic. Mr. Lott, we have a gun epidemic. What did she mean by that?
Well, I think she wants to bring up whatever reason she can to push for more gun control, whether or not it actually improves any problems or not. I mean, obviously, we have a crime problem. We have particularly a crime problem in urban areas,
sure,
particularly with minorities. But that's largely a gang and drug gang problem, mm-hmm, that's there. And to me, rather than worrying about how somebody kills somebody else, we need to worry about what motivates them to go and fight over drug turf, for example. I mean, the notion that somehow background checks on private transfers are going to keep drug gang members from getting a hold of weapons,
right,
is no more credible than to think that we've been very successful in stopping drug gangs from getting a hold of illegal drugs to go and sell.
Exactly right. Sorry, go ahead.
And the problem is, and I wish she would acknowledge and understand, is that the types of rules that she pushes discriminates against the very people that she claims that she wants to go and help. These rules make it hard for minorities, mm-hmm, particularly poor minorities, to go and get guns. So, you know, you look at the background checks on private transfers. You know, they point to 2.4 million people that have supposedly been stopped from prohibited people from getting guns.
Right.
That's simply wrong. What they've stopped is about 2.4 million law-abiding citizens, primarily mistakes made with regard to Hispanics and blacks.
Yeah.
And rather than trying to fix the system, and that could be simple, for example, requiring that the government has to meet the same standards for doing criminal background checks that companies are forced by the government to do when they do background checks on private transfers. You know, they have no desire to fix that. Plus the costs involved in this. You know, you have it in D.C., it costs $125 to transfer a gun. In Colorado, you have both a state tax for transferring guns as well as
That's
a fee
right.
that you have to pay the licensed dealer. In Colorado, just to give people an idea of what motivates these individuals who are pushing these regulations, in 2013, when Colorado adopted its background checks on private transfers, Republicans put up an amendment that would exempt people below the poverty level from having to pay the new state tax on transferring guns. With the exception of two pro-gun Democrats in the House there, every other Democrat in the state house there voted against exempting people below the poverty level from having to pay the new state tax. I mean, how many taxes can you point to that Democrats would essentially vote virtually unanimously,
mm-hmm,
against exempting, right, people below the poverty level from having to pay? And I think it illustrates what they really care about is trying to make it costly for particularly for poor and minorities to be able to go and get guns.
Right.
Rather than, you know, caring about getting the background checks through by itself, because they would have ameliorated some of the opposition to those rules if they had simply made it fair and fixed these problems that we're talking about with the current system.
talking to the president of Crime Prevention Research Center, author John Lott. The book is The War on Guns, Arming Yourself Against Gun Control Lies. And there are a lot of them out there. And I know Hillary and people like her on her side, they kind of nip around. They don't really say what they mean. They're, oh, of course we're not going to take guns away. Well, that's actually what they really want to do. And you and I have talked about that. I mean, in D.C., California, should Hillary become president, I mean, all kinds of trouble starts there and in other places, too. They do want to disassemble the Second Amendment, right, Mr. Lott?
Right. Well, I mean, I think it's very clear what Hillary Clinton is planning with regard to the Supreme Court. You know, a lot of fact checkers will say, well, she's not going to put up an amendment that's going to remove the Second Amendment from the Bill of Rights.
Right.
But she doesn't need to do that. The fact checkers are being, you know, obtuse when they argue that that's the point. Right now, the Supreme Court is tied 4-4 in terms of whether or not people have a right to self-defense. Mm-hmm. Let alone a right to self-defense with a gun. Whoever appoints Justice Antonin Scalia's replacement there will determine, who died earlier this year, will determine the outcome of whether or not the courts believe that there is an individual right to self-defense. And Hillary Clinton has made it very clear that she believes that recent decisions were wrong and should be overturned. The only thing that those recent decisions did, like the Heller case in 2008, was said that the government cannot completely ban guns. Mm-hmm. In D.C., they had an explicit ban on handguns. And while you could technically own a rifle or a shotgun, it was a felony punished by 5 years in prison if you just put a bullet in the chamber of a rifle or a shotgun shell in a shotgun. You didn't have to fire the gun, just merely putting the bullet in the rifle got you 5 years in prison.
Unbelievable.
And so the Supreme Court said that, look, for all practical purposes, it's illegal for you to use any type of gun in self-defense. And the Supreme Court said that simply goes too far. And so if Hillary is able to appoint somebody that she wants to the Supreme Court, then they would be able to completely ban guns again. And that's not just a reasonable regulation. Someone needs to ask her why she believes a complete ban on guns, which some cities and even a couple states might adopt. So in California, for example, since 2001, there have been over 1,200 models of handguns that have been banned under so-called safety regulations that they have there.
Mm-hmm.
Basically, can you drop a gun off the top of a tall building and not have it be damaged in any way? Only a dozen or so handgun models can still be sold in the state, and within a few years, even those will be banned. And so if Hillary Clinton wins, then it's very likely that those quote-unquote safety regulations in California will be allowed to remain in effect, and you'll get a ban on handguns there in the state.
John Lott's book is The War on Guns. You should get a copy of it. You can order it anytime. You can do it right now. And, of course, it's a Regnery title. We love Regnery. And you're going to find out why gun licenses and background checks don't stop crime, how gun-free zones actually attract mass shooters. We've talked about this many times, John and I, and why stand-your-ground laws are some of the best crime deterrents we have. This is common-sense stuff, and a lot of people out there just don't know it, and they're being used. And sadly, the willful ignorant and the ignorant that are not so willful, they need a copy of this. This is helpful for everyone, whether you own guns or not, right, John Lott?
Well, I mean, if you care about people being able to defend themselves, particularly as we've talked about just now earlier, these gun control laws primarily disarm the most vulnerable people in our society. Poor minorities, poor blacks, poor Hispanics are the ones who are primarily disarmed. But if my research convinces me of anything, it's the people who are most likely to be victims of violent crime are the ones who benefit the most from having the option to protect themselves. Anybody who's read any of my books, you know, as well as the new one, The War on Guns, knows that I think police are extremely important in stopping crime, that I think police are the single most important factor for reducing crime. But the police themselves understand that they virtually always arrive on the crime scene after the crime has occurred. And the question is, what should those people do? And so the people who are most likely to be victims of violent crime are the ones who benefit the most from having the option to protect themselves. So when you have all these taxes and fees and the complete mess that the current background check system is, you know, I've raised these concerns to gun control advocates for 15 years, and they have had absolutely no desire to fix any of these problems. And I think it goes and shows that they're more interested in having rules that disarm these minorities than they are to going and, you know, having the background checks that they want to have. The federal background checks would be pretty easy to pass very quickly if they just were willing to make these simple changes. And I don't know how anybody can go and argue or defend a current system where 99% or so of the people who are stopped are mistakes, law-abiding citizens who should have been able to go and buy a gun. I mean, what possible justification? It's a simple fix. All the government has to is abide by the same rules for doing background checks that the federal government requires that private companies do. But they won't. They're not willing to apply the same rules to themselves that they apply to private companies. And, you know, as far as all the fees and taxes and what have you, economists would say there's a simple rule. You have it so that if you believe that these background checks reduce crime, and I'm very skeptical, I don't think that they do, but if you do, then you would argue that they reduce crime for everybody, not just the very law-abiding individuals who go out of their way to go and have these background checks on private transfers. They're like the last guys that you have anything to worry about. But if you believe it lowers crime generally, an economist would say the people who benefit should be the ones who pay. So you should pay for it out of general revenue rather than just a tax on those very law-abiding people who go out of their ways to follow the rules. But you go and bring that up to a gun control advocate, they'll go nuts
over
you bringing that up.
I want you to get the book. Everybody, get the book. The War on Guns, Arming Yourself Against Gun Control Lies, Dr. John R. Lott, Jr. You will find him also at crimeresearch.org. That is the website. John, I appreciate you, all the work, all the scholarship you do for me and everyone else who are reading your work and staying on top of this stuff. And I know it's a big issue this year, and it's a big deal. It sure is, and it should be. And Dr. Lott, I want you to thank you to be on. Thanks for being on my Sunday show, man. I really appreciate it.
I appreciate you having me on. Thank you.
All right, man. Be safe. There's John Lott. They're taking you next, right? We're going to get you. They're coming for our guns, folks. Let's just be honest about it. Our number, 540-0740. We'll talk to you next on 740 KVOR.